Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
An ambassador for the Dogs and broadcasting live from Truist Park every day.
All day, every day.
It's time for Bucks Beat with Buck Ballou.
Welcome back to my new podcast, Bucks Beat. Please share the good news with your friends and all the Braves and Bulldog fans you know. That would be much appreciated. A new episode will drop every Wednesday morning around 9 a.m. And you can always find my podcast at The Podcast Park, presented by Associated Credit Union. Today, a deep dive into Braves pitching. Entering spring training, the Braves rotation is being regarded as one of the best in baseball. Last year's weakness looks like this year's strength. Think about it. Soroka's nasty. Freed, filthy. New additions Charlie Morton and Drew Smyly are high-caliber veterans. Ian Anderson was near flawless as a rookie. Kyle Wright and Bryce Wilson are proven young guns. Enoa and Newcomb provide some quality depth. And Kyle Muller, he's the next man up. People, that's 10 quality starters deep. I'll tell you, man, the rest of baseball is absolutely jealous of the depth of this Braves rotation. And Braves country, you guys should be excited about it. Soroka and Freed up top, 1 and 2. Morton and Smyly, 3 and 4. Ian Anderson, the fifth starter, man, that looks awesome heading into spring training. Now, the closer situation has changed. Melanson is now gone, and the Braves appear to be planning on a situational closer game plan this season. If right-handed batters are coming up in the ninth, well, right-hander Chris Martin can handle that. If left-handed batters are coming up in the ninth, Will Smith, Matzik, or Minter could close it out. It just depends on the situation this season. Melanson danced around a lot of trouble during his 2 years in Atlanta, but he closed out 26 of 29 save opportunities. Folks, that's almost a 90% success rate. Hopefully, he will not be missed. Besides that big bat search, the Braves also need to solidify the bullpen, and that could happen with a couple of key additions at any moment. So there is work to get done for Anthopoulos before the 21 season gets underway. And yes, I know what you think. I'm still holding out hope that my man Marcelo Ozuna returns, although that appears to be highly unlikely, with the big payroll teams like the Yankees, Dodgers, and Red Sox reportedly driving up the price. What a bummer. I was also hyped to hear Chipper last week on the podcast mention Austin Riley as the big bat already on the roster. Dudes, that would be epic if Austin Riley delivered a big season offensively. The situational closer thing, really not that big of a concern for me because I believe in both Martin and Smith, and I'm totally loving the rotation.
Bucks Beat.
Joining us now on Bucks Beat is Braves Hall of Fame broadcaster Joe Simpson, fresh off a vacation and spring training only a few days away. Joe, you ready for this?
You know what, Buck? I think after last year, we're all chomping at the bit to get started and have a normal season. Maybe we're just all excited or hoping for a normal life in light of what's happened, but certainly baseball will help make it feel more normal.
All right, is it fair to say the Braves enter this season in 2021 with their goal? They're focused on getting back to the World Series for the first time since 1999. We're close a year ago, 7 games to the Dodgers, who went on and won the whole thing.
Yeah, and had them down 3-1, 3-1. But I think that's where they're in. The shortcomings of the Braves last year were exposed, and that was a lack of starting pitching. They had good arms, and they still do. Just had a lot of inexperience to try to close out the Dodgers. And Alex Anthopoulos, boy, I mean, he's addressed that need right away. getting Drew Smyly, trading or signing Charlie Morton. Those are two solid quality arms that make this a very formidable rotation.
Yeah, I was reading a Major League Baseball preview just a day or two ago, and they had listed the Braves' starting rotation as among the best in baseball, one of the tops in the National League. Let's dig into Charlie Morton. Joe, what do you like about Charlie Morton?
Let me go back to when Charlie first came to the Braves, first signed with him. Charlie was a young kid. He was somewhat immature, certainly inexperienced. And he was trying to break in the big leagues with some very good starting pitchers. That was hard to do. And lo and behold, the Braves make a deal for Nate McLouth and send Charlie to Pittsburgh, where he really blossomed. So what I like about Charlie is that he has matured. He seems to have gotten better with age, and he's a very good competitor. What he did for Houston a few years ago, coming out of the bullpen, even though he was a starter, coming out of the bullpen in the postseason and nailing that down for them, that was incredible. So Charlie's one of those guys that's willing to do whatever you ask of him, and the fact that he was willing to come back to Atlanta says a lot about him, too. He's a quality guy.
Joe, I just haven't seen a lot of Drew Smyly. What can you tell Braves country about him?
I'm kind of with you, Buck. I haven't seen him in a while. I know he was with the Phillies a couple of years ago, but what I did after we signed him was I called my pals, broadcasting pals out in San Francisco, and I asked for a scouting report. And Mike Kruko, who is their analyst and a former big league pitcher and a good one, I'll go by what he said. And he was talking about how he was a beast at the end of the year. Smyly was coming off an injury, but at the very end of the 60-game schedule, he was unhittable. Left-handers were something like 4-for-34 off of him in his last couple of starts. He's got good stuff. His fastball was up back around 93, 94. So if he can play off of the end of 2020 and come into 2021 healthy and throwing like that, then he's going to be a real sleeper for Braves fans in the rotation.
Joe, I'm really excited about the young guys in the rotation. Hoping we'll see Mike Soroka back really soon, early in the year. Is that asking too much? What do you think about Soroka getting back in the rotation?
No, I don't think it is, Buck. I'm just speaking from personal experience at an advanced age when I tore my Achilles. And I was told by Dr. Gleason, 6 months. It's going to take you 6 months to feel even somewhat normal. And we're well past 6 months for Mike Soroka. So at his age, being young, and all the things that he has at his disposal for rehabbing, I have no doubts that he'll be ready to go at the beginning of the year, if not maybe a week or two into the season. He's a young kid, and he'll be ready. But you're right. The Braves are blessed with some good young arms, and they have a lot of depth. And that's what I keep hearing some of the prognosticators talking about, is how deep the Braves starting staff is with the young guys like Newcomb or certainly Wright and Wilson and Toussaint and on down the list. They've got guys to fill in if needed.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
Anderson was so impressive in crunch time at the end of the year last year. Are we going to see more of the same out of him?
Absolutely. And it's because of that devastating changeup he has, Buck. The fact that that plays in Major League Baseball now when you got a good changeup. Plus, he can on any given night, he can throw 93 easily, sometimes busting 95. So, yeah, I expect more of the same from Ian Anderson, what we saw in the postseason. He gained a lot of experience. But beyond Ian, think about what A.J. Minter did in the postseason. Think about what Bryce Wilson did. Kyle Wright pitched a good game or two in the postseason. I think all those guys really rose to the occasion, really grew up a little bit, got some very valuable crunch time type experience under their belt, and I feel like they will be raring to go.
I am so impressed with Max Fried, and I'm not even talking about his big curveball that he can bury the in on these hitters. I like his competitive spirit is what I like about him. Is he truly one of the better guys out there?
And no doubt. And what I see is that same Tom Glavine-type grit. You know, he sets his jaw. He doesn't let you know too much about what he's thinking other than the fact that he's grinding and he's coming after you. And a really tough competitor. I'm like you. I love that about him. And when he's got good stuff to go with it, that makes him mighty good.
Joe, listen, before you came on, I was talking about the closer situation in 2021. Melanson, contract expired. He's moved on. And it just looks like the Braves are set up to have a situational closer deal coming up in 2021. You got right-handers coming up in the ninth inning. Maybe Martin closing out the game. You got lefties coming up. Well, it could be Will Smith or Matzik or Minter, one of those guys. Do you think AA will bring in another closer, or are we going to do it situationally this year?
You know, Buck, the way I feel about the closing situation is that sometimes it takes care of itself. It works itself out. Now, in a 60-game schedule, you don't have the luxury of waiting for somebody to step up. But over the course of a long season, guys tend to figure out their spot. They settle into a role in the bullpen. And it very well could be a situational thing, as you suggest. But with the experience that Will Smith has, I don't have any qualms about him being the guy. You mentioned the good arms that the Braves have down there. I think sometimes when we think about Shane Green being gone and Melanson, we forget about what a good job Martin and Matzik and Tomlin did. And another guy, too, is Jacob Webb. Jacob Webb's got a great arm, and he's very tenacious. So I'm comfortable if they don't add anyone else down there. I'm comfortable with what's down there and their ability.
Braves Hall of Fame broadcaster Joe Simpson joins us on Bucks Beat, the new podcast. Joe, a big bombing outfielder from Purcell, Oklahoma, in that Oklahoma Sooners program. 11 seasons of pro ball with the Dodgers, Mariners, and Royals, and worked with some very talented men in the broadcasting business. Joe, we've come to the time in the podcast where we're going to bust out the big three.
Let's roll out the big three.
So we got three questions coming your way. Now, the third will be sort of a wild card, so don't be thrown off guard with that one. All right, big three. Question number one. Joe, got to know more about the George Brett Pine Tar incident, July 24th, 1983. You find yourself right in the middle of this, and I can't see this enough as I look back at the days gone by in the big leagues there. How long was George Brett fired up and angry about this thing? Tell us a little bit about the Pine Tar incident.
Yeah, that went on for a while. It was kind of building up when Billy Martin was kind of egging the umpires on. And George certainly was, as you could tell, very irate about it. Who wouldn't be when you hit one in the upper deck off Goose Gossage in the ninth inning? But I guess there were a couple of side notes to that. One was when Joe Brinkman, the umpire, had George around the neck holding him back. And I, along with one other guy, told Joe Brinkman to let him go. He said, and Joe looked at me with his eyes real big. He says, "You got him?" I said, "I got him. Let him go." And so Joe did, and then we corralled George as teammates instead of having an umpire do it. And the other thing was how many guys got kicked out of the game. We had to go back and finish that game, as you know, about a week later. And we had a lot of guys who didn't even get to go to the ballpark because they had been ejected from the game, including George. So that was another part of it. We had to play a little shorthanded when we had to finish that ball game.
All right, big three, question number two. Can you share one of your best Skip Carey stories? And I'm sure you got a long list of them.
Yeah, I do.
And you've worked with his son also.
Yeah, and some I can't tell. But
what can you share with us today?
Well, the one that I even told at his memorial, and I will tell again because he laughed at it, and I laughed at it the more I heard it, was being in Montreal. And when you go on the road, sometimes you get up, if you had to go to the bathroom, the restroom's on the left. Sometimes you get out of bed, you've changed hotel rooms, it's on the right. You kind of get lost in that maze. But in Montreal, he went one door too far. He had no clothes on in the middle of the night. He went to the bathroom, but he stepped out into the hall. The door clicked behind him. He has no key. And he said, and not only that, I wasn't even in my own country. So he had a bit of a problem trying to get somebody up out of bed to go get him a key to get back in his room.
That is fabulous. All right, so here's your random question in the big three.
Fire.
We've got a big bucket here and little folded pieces of paper. I'm going to reach in and grab one and pull it out. Here it is. What is Joe Simpson's go-to vacation spot?
Well, I love St. Simons, and that's where I am right now. I like to come down here. We have a place down here in the wintertime to recharge the batteries. So aside from leaving the country to go a couple of places, I'm not real big on going to Europe or any of that stuff, but I love coming to St. Simons. It's our speed down here. Kathy and I love it, and it's our home away from home.
Yeah, and I can certainly appreciate that. I love it too, Joe, and wishing you well into this 28th year with the Braves broadcasting, man.
Hey, thanks, Buck. Great talking to you. Good luck on the podcast.
Joe, thanks so much, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet.
Bucks Beat.
Great having Joe on. He's one of my favorite baseball broadcasters, and he's not old school. Make a note of that. Joe is vintage. In case you're wondering, the other top rotations entering this season include the Dodgers, Nationals, Padres, Indians, and White Sox. Next week on Bucks Beat, we take a deep dive into the Georgia Bulldogs offensive line with SEC Network analyst and Georgia legend Matt Stinchcomb, who certainly knows a good offensive lineman when he sees one. It's a shame the Falcons hadn't used Matt as a consultant through the years. There are two concerns for Georgia in 21, cornerback and the O-line. Kirby Smart has got to get some of these young pups coached up at both of those position groups if the Bulldogs are going back to the playoffs and maybe have a chance to beat both Clemson and Alabama. Don't laugh. Allow us Bulldogs to dream a little bit. I'm going to ask Stinch about Cedric Van Pran Granger, Broderick Jones, Amarius Mims, and Coach Matt Luke next week on Episode 3 of Bucks Beat. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Tell a friend or maybe help us find a sponsor. Episode 2 of Bucks Beat is now complete.
Subscribe to Bucks Beat and get the latest updates every week from the most connected guys in Georgia sports. Follow Buck at BuckBaloo8 on Twitter and check out all the fan podcasts at thepodcastpark.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.